The Spirit of Wisdom, Revelation and Power. Audiobook by Ashish Rai Chur. Chapter 1. The Spirit of Wisdom. The Holy Spirit is God together with the Father and the Son. And He is here on earth, moving in and through the people of God. He expresses Himself in many ways and works in and through the people of God, enabling them to accomplish many different things. In this chapter, we focus on one of the many operations of the Holy Spirit. Our purpose is to acquaint you with this aspect of the work of the Spirit of God. Our prayer is that many will be encouraged to seek and experience the wonderful Spirit of God as the Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of God, His varied attributes. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Prophet Isaiah spoke about the anointing that would rest on Jesus during his earthly ministry. He presented 7 different aspects of the Holy Spirit's empowerment upon the Messiah, the Anointed One. He used 7 different titles, each revealing a specific facet of the Holy Spirit's work and therefore His character. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Wisdom, the Spirit of Understanding, the Spirit of Counsel, the Spirit of Power, the Spirit of Knowledge, the Spirit of the Fear of the Lord. This is not a complete list, for we also see scriptures where the Holy Spirit is referred to by other titles or names, such as the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Life, the Comforter, and so on. What we do need to understand, however, is that each of these titles or names reveals a specific aspect of who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. It is important to know who He is and what He does, for only then can we have a deeper fellowship with Him and experience His working in and through us in a greater measure. The Spirit of God, ever present, always at work. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is here for us, people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ through faith. He is here to be with us, to work in us, and to work through us. He is with us always. He is not here as some mysterious unseen force or presence that we are only supposed to talk about but never experience. No. He desires to be all that He is to us. He desires to do through us things that He alone can do. He desires to impart into our lives. In this chapter, we will focus on one of the titles or names given to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Wisdom. As the Spirit of Wisdom, He imparts divine wisdom, the wisdom of God, into our lives. It is hard to define what the wisdom of God is in a sentence or two. We know where it begins, Psalm chapter 111, verse 10. We know its characteristics, James chapter 3, verse 17. And yet, because the wisdom of God is infinite, Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it is hard to express adequately what it is in a few words. Some have said that wisdom, in general, is the ability to use knowledge. Others have said that divine wisdom is insight into the plans and purposes of God. Divine wisdom, wisdom that comes from God, which the Spirit of Wisdom imparts into our lives, is all this and much more. Our approach in this chapter is to look into the Scripture and learn how the Spirit of Wisdom has worked in the lives of people in the past. This will show us how He can work in and through us today, for He has not changed. It will elevate our faith and increase our expectancy of the Spirit of God working in us, as the Spirit of Wisdom. And of course, He is not limited to working just the same way as He has done in the past. He is God. The Spirit of Wisdom will surely work in and through us in fresh and new ways. Wisdom for Problem Solving, Joseph. Genesis chapter 41, verses 28-40. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming, and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word, only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." One of the things that impress us most about Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dreams and foretelling the 7 years of severe famine that was to follow the 7 years of plenty is that he did not stop there. He did not just predict the problem that was going to hit the entire nation in 7 years. He went on to provide a solution. He laid out a plan to solve the problem. The same God who enabled Joseph to interpret the dreams also gave him the wisdom to provide a solution. God was undoubtedly with Joseph, Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. What God imparted into Joseph's life made him discerning and wise. This is an example of the spirit of wisdom at work. He gives us wisdom not only to understand upcoming events, but also to see solid, workable solutions to forthcoming problems. The more we learn about the spirit of wisdom, the more we will be able to walk with discernment and prudence. Wisdom for skillful and artistic works, the workers at the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 31, verses 1-5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze. In cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." When it was time for the people of God journeying from Egypt to the Promised Land, to build a tabernacle, they needed workers. So God chose a man called Bezalel and filled him with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God imparted to Bezalel the skill, ability, and knowledge that he needed to be a master craftsman to design and create artistic pieces for the tabernacle. Wow! The Holy Spirit imparted artistic skill and ability to a man. The Spirit of wisdom can do this for us even today. It may not necessarily be for working with gold and silver, since artistic ability can be expressed in many ways. And again, this need not be restricted to artistic skill, but all kinds of skills and ability to do things in general. It requires skill to be a good physician, skill to cook great food, skill to write good computer programs, skill to write, skill to speak, and so on. The Spirit of wisdom can impart skill, ability, and knowledge into our lives. Now catch this picture, lest we get a wrong notion of the work of the Holy Spirit. Here is Bezalel, a man filled with the Spirit of wisdom. Can you see him all sweaty and smelly sitting under his tent in the hot desert sun, working away with his tools? What is the point to be understood here? Just because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, it does not mean that we will not have to work, and work hard. The Spirit of God is the one who will give us the wisdom, skill, ability, and knowledge, but we are the ones who must sweat it out and get the work done. There can be no room for laziness. Wisdom to teach and instruct, Bezalel. Exodus chapter 35, verses 30-34. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze. In cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach, in him and Aholiab the son of Ahizamach, of the tribe of Dan. It is interesting to note that the Spirit of God not only imparted artistic ability and skill to Bezalel, but also gave him the ability to teach others. It is one thing to be able to make use of whatever knowledge and skill we ourselves have. Many are good at doing what they have knowledge of and ability to do, however, it is a totally different skill to be able to impart that knowledge to someone else and train them. Not many are able to do that. Here we see the Holy Spirit giving Bezalel and Aholiab that very ability, the ability to teach, train, and instruct, the ability to impart the skill and knowledge that they have received to others. The same Spirit of wisdom enabled them to do that. The Spirit of wisdom can empower us too with the ability to teach others. Wisdom for leadership, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Solomon. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the Spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10-12. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king, Solomon, had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. We see examples of men of God, Joseph, Moses, and others, who were great leaders because of the Spirit of wisdom. Joshua, as he received the mantle of leadership from Moses, was given the Spirit of wisdom. This was what Joshua needed, to be a leader of God's people. God was pleased with Solomon's desire for wisdom to rule and govern his people. The Spirit of wisdom enables one to be a godly and successful leader. This is what the church needs. This is what nations, corporations, and organizations need. We need leaders who are filled with the Spirit of wisdom. If you are in some sort of leadership position, learn to seek the Spirit of God for His wisdom to successfully fulfill your responsibility. Wisdom for intelligent design, David. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 11, 12, and 19. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. And the plans for all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing, by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. David had desired to build a temple to worship God. However, God had instructed him to only make the needed preparations and to have Solomon his son build it. It is very interesting to note what the scripture says as David was getting ready to hand over to Solomon the things he had brought together for the construction of the temple. He, David, gave him, Solomon, the plans of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord. Notice what David said. All this the Lord made me understand in writing, by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. Wow! The design of the temple was given to David by the Spirit of God. The hand of the Lord is an Old Testament phrase to refer to the moving of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of wisdom, is at work today. He can impart designs, plans, and so on, supernaturally into our minds. Wisdom to exploit natural resources, the farmer. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 23-29. Give ear and hear my voice, listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled its surface, does he not sow the black cumin and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in the appointed place, and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment, his God teaches him. For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground, therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. Imagine yourself back in time when there were no machines to aid the farmer in his work. How did the farmer have the knowledge to know what he needed to do, how he had to prepare the ground for the seed, how he had to harvest the grain and so on? This passage teaches us that it was the Lord Almighty, who is wonderful in counsel and magnificent in wisdom, who enabled the farmer to understand what he needed to do. In other words, it was God who taught the farmer how to make use of natural resources. These aspects of farming may be common knowledge today. However, there may yet be many other untapped resources that are available to man: new sources of energy, new chemicals, new scientific and technological discoveries, and so on. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of wisdom, can impart to us the counsel and wisdom of God to discover and understand how to use the resources that are on the earth. Wisdom for learning Daniel and his friends. Daniel chapter 1, verses 17-20. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah; therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. The Spirit of wisdom also gives us intelligence, insight, and the ability to learn." It was God who gave Daniel and his friends knowledge, understanding, and the ability to learn. This caused them to excel. The Holy Spirit can do in our day what he did back then. Wisdom in the teaching ministry, Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?" At the beginning of this chapter, we read about the anointing of the Spirit that rested on the Lord Jesus during his earthly ministry. The Lord Jesus went about teaching, preaching, and healing. The teaching ministry of Jesus was characterized by wisdom and demonstration of miraculous powers. So should it be in our day. Those who have been called to the teaching ministry should desire to manifest divine wisdom and miraculous signs that flow out of the anointing of the Spirit. The gift of the word of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. One aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry through the church is released through the gifts of the Spirit. One of these gifts given by the Holy Spirit is the word of wisdom. This is an impartation of divine wisdom into a believer's life for the benefit of one or more persons. The word of wisdom may be given to solve a problem, make a decision in leadership, help in instruction, and so on. There is no restriction or limitation on the specific area, ministry, business, science, cooking, relationships, and so on, in which the Spirit of God is to impart a word of wisdom. What we do know is that the Spirit of God is at work in the church today as the Spirit of wisdom, and we need to earnestly desire His operation in our lives. Wisdom to know Him better. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. The world through wisdom did not know God. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know our God more intimately. The wisdom of the world is incapable of leading us to God. As we continually open our hearts to the wisdom and revelation that the Holy Spirit brings, we will grow deeper in our knowledge of Him. The key: communing with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here for us to experience Him in His fullness in our daily lives. As we learn to rely on Him and draw on what He imparts, we will experience more of His working in our lives. He works differently in each of our lives, depending on what we are called to do. Some are called into positions of leadership and they need the Spirit of wisdom to fulfill that role. Others are called to do something else. Depending on your vocation, role, or calling, you will need the Spirit of wisdom to empower you differently. But everyone must learn to rely on the Spirit of God and the wisdom He imparts. We need to walk in constant communion with Him, speak to Him, ask Him for the wisdom we need, and yield to His leading. We must not be afraid to follow His prompting. This is a relationship that is built over time. The more you know Him, the more you will experience Him. Discover the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of wisdom in your life. Chapter 2. The Spirit of Revelation. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 to 23 and 27 through 28. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons, He removes kings and raises up kings, He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things, He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, O God of my fathers, You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of You, for You have made known to us the king's demand." Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. When King Nebuchadnezzar demanded that the wise men and magicians in his kingdom find out the dream he had and interpret it, they were baffled. How could anyone possibly find out the dream someone else has had? But Daniel, although just a young man, knew something about his God. Daniel knew that the God in heaven, the God of the Bible, reveals deep and hidden things. God knows what lies in darkness, the things that are unknown to man. The light that illuminates darkness and uncovers hidden things is with Him. From time to time, God imparts this light to His people, enabling them to see deep and hidden things." So Daniel prayed along with his friends. God, in answer to their prayer, revealed to Daniel what he needed to know. God is a revealer of secrets. A secret or a mystery is information that is currently unknown. God can reveal secrets to you. He can reveal information to you about things in the past, present, or future. The information that God reveals to you could bring direction and counsel into your life. It could be information that affects you personally or someone else. As in the example with Daniel, it could be information about what God was going to do in the future. As with Jesus, when He spoke to the woman at the well in Samaria, John chapter 4, it could be a revelation of secret sins in someone's life so as to bring correction and repentance. It could be a revelation of somebody's character, who they really are. An example of this is when Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him, and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" John chapter 1, verses 47 and 48. God could reveal the thoughts and intents of other people. For instance, we read, "Jesus perceived in his spirit what they reasoned within themselves," Mark chapter 2, verse 8. God may reveal the plans and schemes of people whom you must deal with so as to protect you. For instance, Prophet Elisha kept warning the king of Israel about the battle plans of the king of Aram, thus helping him to stay out of trouble. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom," 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. God can impart revelation about things in the natural realm as well as about things in the unseen spiritual realm. This book is focused on the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing revelation into our lives. We discuss the need for revelation and the various aspects of the Holy Spirit's work as the Spirit of Revelation. Our desire is that you will experience the Holy Spirit bringing divine revelation into your life, being the Spirit of Revelation to you. When the Spirit comes, John chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Revelation. He reveals truth to our hearts. He speaks to us and reveals the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit speaks to us what the Lord Jesus wishes to convey. He also tells us of things yet to come. All of this is part of the Holy Spirit's present ministry to the church. As believers, we need to desire the revelation that the Spirit of God can bring into our lives. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the Father's heart concerning specific issues that you are facing, your career, your marriage, moving to a different place, and so on. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and prepare you for things in the future, things that the Father has prepared for you. Open your life to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Revelation. The need for revelation. What place does divine revelation have in the life of the believer? Why do we need something above and beyond what we can recognize through our five senses or what is taught in our schools? Knowing the Father. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." No one can know the Father except those to whom the Lord Jesus reveals him. Intimacy with the Father is not the result of diligent scientific investigation. It is not the result of deep intellectual examination either. It is not even the result of religious involvement. We know the Father because the Lord Jesus reveals him to us by his Spirit. We may have knowledge about God, and this knowledge could be accurate. But this is not the same as knowing him intimately. Knowledge about God can be acquired through education. But knowing him comes through revelation. Knowing the Son. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 to 17. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." John chapter 14, verse 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." We know the Lord Jesus through revelation. Like most of the religious people during his earthly ministry, Many educated minds of our day do not understand the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They ridicule Christ and take pride in their earthly learning. They do not realize how foolish they are or the degree of their ignorance. Because their hearts have been hardened, they are unable to receive revelation that the Spirit of God desires to bring to them. Therefore, their ignorance has cut them off from the life of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. It is only when we humble our hearts like little children that we can receive revelation from the Spirit of God. For us to grow progressively in our personal revelation of Jesus Christ, we must walk in love and obedience toward Him. Jesus said that He would reveal Himself to those who obeyed His commands. We cannot reveal Him to others any more than He has revealed Himself to us. We can make Him known to others only to the degree that we know Him personally. Understanding the works of God. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 and 25 through 26. Then He began to rebuke the cities in which most of His mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Your sight. Acts chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. The wise and learned were unable to understand the miracles that Jesus performed during His earthly ministry. They tried to reason away the mighty works of God. Perhaps it was deception, perhaps it was the work of demons. It could be anything but the work of God. However, unschooled and ordinary men like Peter and John, who like little children followed Jesus, understood the miracles. To them it was revealed that these were the true works of God. They received the revelation that in the name of Jesus and through simple faith they could work the works of Christ. In fact, even after Christ's resurrection and ascension to heaven, these men continued ministering healing and demonstrating the miracle-working power of God. Sad to say, today, many of the wise and learned Christian theologians, preachers, and teachers are unable to understand the works of God. Many spend so much time and effort trying to dispute the miracles and signs being performed in our day. And yet, many unschooled and ordinary men and women continue to experience the mighty works of God in their ministry. It takes revelation to welcome the supernatural visitations of God. Understanding the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 16. And the disciples came and said to Him, Why do You speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. Revelation leads to repentance. Repentance results in salvation and healing of the total person. Revelation is having our spiritual eyes open to see, our spiritual ears open to hear, and our spiritual hearts open to understand spiritual truth. This leads to the recognition of our need to embrace the truth. When we forsake our foolishness, turn, and embrace the truth, that is repentance. It is then that God brings healing. Although there may be times when God does a mighty work first to open people's eyes and then lead them to repentance. It is through the revelation that the Spirit of God brings that we understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. As the Holy Spirit sheds His light upon our hearts and minds, we begin to grasp spiritual principles and understand the ways of God. As people of God, what we need today is not just education but revelation. We need education in spiritual things, but more importantly, we need revelation to grasp the knowledge that has been made available to the body of Christ. The revelation of the Scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 12. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3-5. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Psalm chapter 119, verse 18. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. The Scriptures, the written Word of God, are a revelation of unseen realities. They were given by revelation. They are understood today by revelation. The prophets who brought forth the Word of God received it by revelation. The Spirit of God working in them gave them revelation and insight into the secret things of God. These were then recorded for our benefit. Today, as we look into the written Scripture, we need to have our eyes opened. The same Spirit who inspired the Scripture to be written must enlighten our eyes to see the wonderful things that have been recorded in the Scripture. Revealed to us through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9-12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There are things which man has not seen, heard, or thought of, things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Such things have been prepared for us, the body of Christ. God has revealed these to us by His Spirit, and they are recorded for us in the written Scripture. It is through the continuing work of the Spirit of revelation in the body of Christ that what has been revealed in the Scripture becomes a revelation that is currently understood. The body of Christ is on a journey, progressively coming to understand more and more of the things that God has freely given to us. This is also true in our personal lives as individuals and in the lives of local churches and fellowships around the world. There are things that God has planned for us which He revealed to us through His Spirit. We need to receive a revelation of these things, so that we can strive for and work toward possessing that which He has prepared for us. The Spirit of Revelation and the Gifts of Revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7, 8 and 10. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. The presence and operation of the Spirit of God in the believer's life are manifested in different ways. What is commonly known as the nine gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation or expression of the Spirit's presence and operation. Many of these gifts involve revelation from the Spirit of God imparted to the human vessel through whom He is working at that time. There is something revealed to the human vessel that releases a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of prophecy, or produces insight into the spiritual realm. The spirit of revelation and prayer in other languages. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. When we pray in tongues, we utter mysteries. We speak things which our minds know nothing about. When we pray in other tongues, we allow the Holy Spirit to operate through us as the spirit of revelation, the spirit of intercession, and much more. We can pray for people, places, and events of which we have no knowledge about, as though we did know about them, because the Holy Spirit enables us to utter mysteries out of our spirits. The spirit of revelation and the ministry of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? When one is ministering the word, one is imparting revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or instruction. Revelation is the unveiling of spiritual truth. As ministers of the Word of God, we must learn to depend on the Spirit of revelation. He will reveal to us the word that has to be spoken at any given time. As the Spirit of revelation, He opens the eyes of those to whom the truth is presented. If He is not present, then our efforts in ministering the word will not produce spiritual enlightening. The Spirit of revelation and the prophetic ministry. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants the prophets. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 29-31. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. The spirit of revelation is operative in a very powerful way through the prophetic ministry. The Spirit of God reveals something to the prophet, who then utters it to the intended audience. The spirit of revelation and our personal lives. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of revelation, is at work in every believer. It is our privilege to desire, to seek, and listen to the Spirit of God revealing God's plans and purposes for us as individuals. The Spirit of God will bring specific revelation into each of our lives for counsel, correction, encouragement, and direction. As we open our lives to the revelation that the Spirit of God brings, we will grow in our knowledge of the Father, His Son, and in our understanding of His Word. Chapter 3. The Spirit of Power. There is an old English chorus that we used to sing. All over the world the Spirit is moving. All over the world. As the prophet said it would be. All over the world. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea. How true this is. In recent times the church around the world is witnessing a continued increase in the move of God's Spirit. Even churches in mainline denominations are being swept into the mighty move of God's Spirit. And one of the characteristics of this present-day move of the Holy Spirit is an increased expectancy of mighty demonstrations of His power through healings, miracles, and overthrowing of demonic activity. In this chapter, we would like to survey this aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit. We trust that this will introduce you to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of power. May this study encourage you to earnestly desire manifestations of His presence through mighty demonstrations of His power. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Power. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Among the various facets of the Holy Spirit's work, as presented in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, is the Spirit of power. This reveals the Holy Spirit as one who is full of might, power, force, and strength. It reveals the Spirit of God as one who can do great things. He is the Spirit of power. He can make things happen. The Holy Spirit is still at work today as the Spirit of power. He has not lost any of His power, for He does not change. The Spirit of God extends His power upon people, places, and things. In other words, people or individuals and groups, places, or whole geographic regions, cities, villages, a meeting place, and natural, material things, pieces of cloth, the weather, and so on, can be influenced, changed, and affected by the power of the Spirit of God. For example, the Spirit of God can move upon a person's physical body, and in an instant remove all sicknesses and diseases, whatever they may be. In an instant, by the power of the Holy Spirit, tumors can be removed, organs can be created, old organs replaced with new ones, the blood system cleansed, every trace of disease made to completely disappear, and so on. The Spirit of God can move upon a gathering of people, whether a few or many thousands, and touch many, simultaneously doing miracles in their lives. He can move upon an entire village or city, bringing a change in the spiritual climate, causing repentance and turning toward the Lord Jesus, releasing mighty demonstrations of His presence through miracles and healings. The Spirit of God may cause His power to reside in material things, such as a piece of cloth or garment. This cloth or garment, for a certain period, becomes a conveyor or container of the Spirit's power. This power can flow out and affect other things. For instance, sick people can be healed when they come in contact with that cloth or garment. The Spirit of God can move upon the elements of the weather, the wind, clouds, and so on, changing them. The Spirit of power in creation. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Psalm chapter 104, verse 30. You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. As the Spirit of God was resting over, or covering, the waters, Almighty God spoke His word. The sequence of God's activity is important. First, the Spirit of God covers the vast expanse. Then the word is spoken over the region. And then things happen. This seems to indicate that the Spirit of God is the one who executes the purposes of the triune God. He is the one who creates, who changes, who shapes, and who forms the natural world in accordance with the word that is spoken. The Spirit of power imparting physical strength. Judges chapter 14, verses 6 and 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. Judges chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 44 to 46. So he, Elijah, said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away, and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. All the scripture passages above clearly indicate that the Spirit of God can move upon people and impart supernatural physical strength and ability. Samson's exploits of killing a lion with his bare hands, overpowering many men, and breaking the ropes he was tied with, were possible because the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him in power. Similarly, imagine a man running faster than a chariot of horses. It is not possible, naturally speaking. However, because of the power of the Lord, referring to the Spirit of the Lord coming in power, Elijah was able to do so. The Holy Spirit has not changed. He can do in our day what he has done in days gone by. Because times have changed, we may not be put in situations where we may need supernatural strength to kill lions or run faster than a chariot of horses. However, there are areas in which we can experience the supernatural energizing of the Spirit of God upon our physical bodies. As an example, imagine you have had a long day at work, and then you are put in a situation where you must minister to someone. You may be physically and mentally tired. But at that very moment, the Spirit of God can supernaturally energize your body and mind so that you can go on to finish the task of ministering to those in need. See also Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of Power Overthrowing Opposition. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So he, the angel, answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Jews who had returned to their homeland under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua had the task of rebuilding the temple. However, they faced much opposition from the neighboring Samaritans who succeeded in bringing the work to a halt. After about 12 years, with encouragement from prophets such as Zechariah and Haggai, the people were urged to resume their work of restoring the temple. Zerubbabel, who was the governor of Judah, was primarily responsible for this project. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 express clearly that the work of God will be accomplished by the power of the Spirit of God. Every mountain of opposition will become level ground. When a man or woman is commissioned by God and anointed by the Spirit to fulfill a specific task, no opposition or work of the enemy can prevail. The task can be completed through the power of the Spirit. This also shows how important it is to be empowered by the Spirit of God. It is not religious effort that will withstand persecution, but the anointing. It is the anointed church that will prevail. The power of the Most High. Luke chapter 1, verses 30-35. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The incarnation was possible through a creative miracle wrought in Mary's womb by the Spirit of God. What was naturally impossible became possible through the power of the Most High. If the Holy Spirit could cause such a supernatural work in Mary's physical body, and since he being God has not changed, Malachi chapter 3, verses 6, why should we consider it impossible for him to do works of healing and creative miracles in people's bodies in our day? We should not. The Holy Spirit can still come upon people and do miracles of healing in their physical bodies. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 and 18 through 19. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In the Incarnation, the Word who was God became flesh. During his earthly ministry, Jesus had purposed to set aside his divine powers of omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6-8 and John chapter 17, verse 5. He chose to walk as you and I would, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 17. His ministry was a result of the anointing, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The miracles he did were because of the power of the Holy Spirit operating through his life. Why is this important for us to understand? Because when we understand this, we can then understand what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Anyone means people like you and me. Through our faith in him, Jesus said that we would do what he did. We will preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, minister healing to the sick, cast out demons, and demonstrate the mighty power of God. How will this be possible? The same way Jesus did them, through the power of the Spirit. When Jesus ascended to the Father, he sent the Spirit to work in and through those who would believe in him. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we believers can do the works that Jesus did. The Spirit of power for all believers. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." One of Jesus' final commands to his disciples was to have them wait for the gift my Father promised. The Father had promised that he would pour out the Holy Spirit on all flesh, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The time for this to be fulfilled had finally come, and Jesus was preparing his disciples for this. He said that when the Spirit would come upon them, they would receive power. This was the power of God, divine power, not any earthly power. Then it finally happened. The promise was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Apostle Peter, after explaining the phenomena to the onlookers, extended the promise to them. He said that the promise was not only for them, but also for their children, to those far off, and for all those whom the Lord our God will call. In other words, as long as God was to call people into the kingdom, the promise would be available to all who came. The promise, the outpouring of the Spirit, is available for all believers. Every believer can receive the outpouring of the Spirit and experience the power of the Spirit of God operating through his or her life. The Spirit of power in the early church. The book of Acts records the work of the Holy Spirit through the early church. We read about people being healed, the lame walking, the dead being raised, demons being cast out, and so on. The power of God that was demonstrated was so strong that people were healed through handkerchiefs that were prayed on, and even through Peter's shadow falling on them. We read about people falling down dead for lying to the Spirit of God, a man being made blind for opposing God's servants, and so on. The early church was not a theoretical church, just talking about God. No. The early church experienced God in their midst. The early church demonstrated the power of God to a lost world. This was possible through the power of the Spirit of God who was at work. The church today ought to be no different. We must allow the Spirit of power to move unhindered in our midst. What a shame when all we want is to parade our eloquent sermons and programs and provide no room for the Spirit of God to demonstrate His power. The Spirit of power in the ministry of the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. The ministry of the Word is not meant to be an intellectual exercise. It is a spiritual work that must be exercised by the power of God's Spirit. There is nothing wrong in wise and persuasive words, for Paul did say that he spoke wisdom among those who are mature, although he made it clear that he dealt solely with the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this age. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. However, ministers of the Word are not to rely on wise and persuasive words, but on the operation and demonstration of the Spirit of power. See also 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. It is a sad thing to see that in many places, the church has elevated intellectualism above the power of God's Spirit. In so many churches, it is more fashionable to be intellectual than to be anointed. What a shame! What a contradiction to God's original intent, for ministers of His Word, to demonstrate the power of His Spirit. As ministers of God's Word, we must remember that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. The Spirit of power and His gifts. Among the 9 gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, there are at least 3 gifts that result in mighty demonstrations of God's power. The gift of faith, the gift of healing, and the gift of the working of miracles are the result of the Holy Spirit operating as the Spirit of power. We must desire these manifestations of the Spirit even more. The Spirit of power and the ministry offices. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The Spirit of power rests in a special way upon those called to the ministry offices, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, especially upon those in the apostolic ministry. The apostolic ministry is marked by extraordinary signs, wonders, and miracles that issue out of the special anointing of the Spirit of power. The Spirit of power and you. The Spirit of God desires to work in and through each believer, to help each one of us become all that God intends and accomplish all that He has planned. However, He can and will work only to the degree that we allow Him to. Our encouragement to you is that you will desire and allow the Spirit of God to be the Spirit of power in and through you. That the world may know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.